Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Will you turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, please? I'm going to be reading from the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 10. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Philippi and he says, Philippians 4, verse number 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul writes to this great church at Philippi. I do not believe that there is a more encouraging letter in the New Testament written by Paul than the one that is written to the Philippian brethren. He begins in the first chapter, by saying that their love may abound. He talks about the fact that they need to approve things that are excellent. When you and I look at chapter number 2 in the book of Philippians, we find that Paul challenges them by saying, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." In Philippians chapter number 3, he points out, he said, "I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and looking forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And when you and I come to the 4th chapter of the book of Philippians, he challenges them. He said, "Do not be anxious in anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God." Paul emphasizes the fact that this congregation, as a matter of fact, he uses the word fellowship in Philippians chapter number 1, and he said, "You fellowship with me in the gospel." And what is Paul saying? He is simply saying that the church at Philippi contributed to his support in the preaching of the gospel. And now when you come down to these last few verses in this letter, you and I can identify very clearly some of the things that Paul is saying to this church. And here's the title of the lesson: What Happens When You Give. Have you ever thought about something? Those of us for many, many years, have you ever thought about when you get your pay stub, and you look on your pay stub, there's a lot of figures there. They paid you for a certain number of hours, and then what they did, they began to deduct. Have you ever thought, seen that? They deduct for Medicare and Social Security. And you're looking at that, and have you heard somebody say, "You know what? It's not going to be there when I get there." Have you ever thought about that? They say, "Well, you know what? As a matter of fact, I've heard this, that this is the first year in the history of Social Security that the money that will be coming in to Social Security will not cover the amount of money that's going out." Now, don't worry. I'm not preaching on Social Security. I'm not politicking. I'm this own father. I'm trying to help you and I get an introduction to something I want us to see in Philippians chapter number 4. And that is, when you and I see our money deducted in these ways, we ask the question, where does it go? Those of you who have small children, you know, you all of a sudden, I mean, you've got an income, you've got 2, 3, 4, 5 small children, and you and your husband, your spouse, you sit down at the table and you say, wait a minute, where did all this money go? And so we simply ask the question. You see, ladies and gentlemen, just a few minutes ago, we took these collection plates and they were passed out among you, and we said, well, where's that money go? Paul said, four things happen when you give. Let me tell you what Paul said to the Philippian church. Four things he said. Number one, he said to these Philippian brethren, here's what happens when you give. Here's what happens at Philippi when you give. Number one, the gospel is preached. Now I want you to notice this, because when you look at Philippians chapter 4, skip down over to verse number 14 and 15, and there are two little words, or well, it's a bigger word, in verse number 14 and verse number 15, and notice that Paul said this. He said, ye did communicate with my affliction. Paul said, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound, I know how to be hungry, I know how to be full. And Paul is saying that I am going to preach the gospel regardless, but he is saying to this church at Philippi, he said, you had opportunity, you didn't have the means. Now you have that, and you have contributed to the work of the Lord, to the preaching of the gospel. And so as a result of that, souls will be saved because you communicate. That word communicate simply means they supported Paul financially in the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible has given to us the Great Commission. In Mark chapter number 16, the Bible says in verse number 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Matthew chapter number 28, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. So we ask the question, what happened at Philippi when they gave their money? It went to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, when you and I contribute to the work of the Lord on the Lord's Day, have you ever really sat down to think about the places where the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached as a result of our contribution? For an example, Brother Brett Rutherford down in Tasmania and the great work which he is doing in Devonport. You and I all know and appreciate and love Brother Robert Martin in the Pacific Islands and the great work and the number of churches that have been established. My friend, you and I have been a part of the establishment of those churches. Brother Graham McDonald is in Scotland. We support the work in Zimbabwe. We support the Truth for the World. And ladies and gentlemen, their publication, it is amazing at the number of publications that Truth for the World publishes that goes throughout the world. And Brother John Grubb is translating a lot of that into Chinese and the work which they are doing. Ladies and gentlemen, when you and I contribute on the first day of the week, it goes to the preaching of the gospel. Gospel Broadcast Network. You and I will never know the benefits of Gospel Broadcast Network. A gentleman by the name of Alan Nedrow out in Nevada, I've mentioned him before. He called me again this week. He said, I want to keep studying the Bible. He told me on the phone, he said, I had never heard of the Church of Christ but one time before I saw the program on Gospel Broadcast Network, and I want to study the Bible. And he has taken the Bible correspondence course, has completed 10 lessons, and now he said, I want to study more, and I want to come to Atlanta and meet the people at Lithia Springs. How is that possible? Because, ladies and gentlemen, you and I contribute on the Lord's Day, and what happens to that money? Part of that goes to Gospel Broadcast Network, and souls are hearing the gospel as a result of that. Secondly, what happens when we give? Go with me now to verse number 17. And look at what the Bible says. Here's what Paul said in verse number 17. Here's the second thing that happens. He said, not because I desire gift. Paul said, I'm not saying to you, I want you to give so that I have a gift. So I'm not desiring a gift from you. I am not desiring that you give to me. But he said this, that when you give to the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens? Look at what he said. Fruit that may abound to your account. The rewards as a result. That fruit, he said, that may abound to your account. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a banking account. Do you know why it only has $24 in it? Because I have not deposited any more money in it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when I deposit money in it, you know what happens? The account grows. The account grows. I want to ask us a question. How's my account with God? How's my account with God? Listen, in Matthew chapter number 19, you remember the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said to Jesus, he said, what good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, this I've done from my youth up, what like I yet? And Jesus said, go sell all you have, give to the poor, and and put your money in the bank account of heaven. The Bible said he went away sorrowful because he had great riches. Now then, if you follow that, you know, we generally stop right there. But if you go on down, it appears the apostles were kind of sitting over. They were listening. This guy comes to the Lord. What are you going to do? He said, put your money up there. And he went away sorrowful because he wasn't going to put his money up there. But now here are these apostles, and they're sitting back, and they're watching this. And finally, somebody said, whoa. Wait a minute. What happens to those of us who have forsaken houses, who have forsaken everything and followed you? What is going to happen to us? If this guy, you tell him to lay up treasure in heaven, and he went away sorrowful because he wouldn't do it. Now we over here, we're doing it. What's going to happen? Well, Jesus said three things are going to happen. He said, number one, you're going to sit on 12 thrones. Go to Revelation chapter number 4 and you'll find that fulfilled. He said, you're going to sit on 12 thrones. You know something? You can tell folks today, well now, if we give liberally, the Lord's going to bless us. And we go home tomorrow and we got a foreclosure notice in the mail. You go to work on Friday. Some of you have experienced this, and you get a slip that says, hey, we love you, brother, but you're not working here anymore. And you say, wait a minute, it's going to be a while before I go to heaven. What am I going to do between now and then? Jesus said to these men, you are going to sit on 12 thrones. But now, wait a minute, he didn't stop there. He said, you're going to receive 100-fold. Somebody said, yeah, that's nice. And everlasting life. Now, if we just looked at that, you say, well, that's wonderful. But now I want you to back up to that 100-fold a second. Because when you turn over to the book of Mark, chapter number 10, verses 29 and 30, you know what he said? He said, you receive that 100-fold. In this life. Man, that draws a different picture, doesn't it? You see, Paul said, here's what happens. What happens is that it will abound under your account. Number three, turn to Philippians again. And here's what happens when you and I give. It is a sweet-smelling savor. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you know what the Bible said? Paul said to these Philippian brethren, he said, when you've done this, it is an odor of a sweet smell to God. But, number four, what happens when you give? Number one, the gospel's preached. Number two, you build up an account reward in heaven. Number three, God, it pleases God. It's a sweet smell to Him. Read Hebrews 11, 1 through 7 about Enoch and about Abel and how that was pleasing to God. Read that. And then number four, you know what Paul says? Paul said, God will take care of you. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all of your needs. That's what happens when you give. Now, if I don't give, the reverse happens. God doesn't supply my needs. God doesn't have a sweet odor. I don't have an award, a reward in heaven. And the gospel's not preached. So what happens? Paul said, here's what happens when I give. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus gave Himself. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that He humbled Himself. He made Himself of no reputation. And He came to this earth. He sacrificed Himself that I can be saved. And so, ladies and gentlemen, based on that sacrifice, you and I are assembled today to worship, and we've assembled today around the Lord's table. We have assembled today to sing these songs and to pray and to encourage and to lift each other up. Why? God's a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you are not a Christian, my friend, why do you wait, dear brother, or why do you tarry so long? The Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified home. Would you not today, by faith, repent of your sins, confess His name before this assembly, be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and then walk that life on a daily basis? Maybe you need the prayers of the church. We're here today to pray with you, to encourage you, and to pray for you.